subtle ministries, as it were. Just really want to encourage all of you in the ways that you serve here at Beckenham and beyond in many ways. And it's a real privilege to be part of the body of God and the way that it serves. Going to speak a little bit about that today. And just like to, sorry, that's a little bit bold. Just like to read from Matthew chapter 6. We've finally returned to Matthew again. Some of you wouldn't have been around when we last looked at Matthew. It was back in November last year. So 5 months later, we returned back to Matthew, our series that we've been working through. And we left partway through chapter 6. And as we did, I was trying to think, where exactly did we leave Matthew 6? Found myself doubling up a little bit. I'd like to speak on that shortly. But I want to read this morning from Matthew 6, verse 25 to the end of the chapter. If you've got your Bibles, I just want to encourage you to bring those with you regularly so we can look at that together. And then later on, some of the verses we're going to look at will be on the overhead. But just want to encourage us weekly to bring our Bibles or apps, etc., and follow along. Matthew 6, reading from verse 25 to end of chapter. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you as we look to your word this morning that it speaks light and life to us. We thank you for the way in which it always speaks anew. Lord, forgive us if we say we've heard this before, we know what it's about, etc., etc. May it be, Lord, that we come away with something fresh and we do not leave here unchanged this morning. Amen. So just briefly in the lead up to this, Matthew 25, I was looking before at the verse before, the passage before, which is essentially, if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness, talking about the lamp of the body is the eye. And the word bad and good is different to what we use. The word good is single, having a singularity of purpose. I mention that not because it necessarily links to the next part, but understanding the focus that God calls us to. And it seems to be this focus brings to a summary this end of chapter 6. And it starts off firstly, and I will bring up verse 25, thanks, Nick. Therefore I say to you. Now, what's the therefore, therefore? The old sort of literary device, as it were. What's the therefore, therefore? And I want to start carefully looking at this because normally we see in Matthew, as we've come through from obviously from chapter 1, normally the passage follows. You have heard that it was said, for example, you have heard that it was said, love your neighbours and hate your enemies. But now I say to you, and he builds us up, this is in Matthew 5:33, builds it up, therefore, I say to you, or but now I say to you, and raises the bar, raises the ante. There's no sort of now I say to you, or you've heard that it was said. Jesus jumps straight into this particular bit with no link from the previous passage. In a sense, this is a summary of not just chapter 6, but of a number before. And when we read the word, therefore I say to you, what he's actually saying in this, it's once again, the literary meaning is, I want to lay this down. I want to establish this fact. It's not, I'm just saying it to you, by the way, we're having a conversation. We're going to lay this down right now. At the start of this passage, I want to lay it down that you're not to worry. So let's not have any debate about that. I'm going to tell you why you're not going to worry, but let's establish it from the start. So this could be a very short message this morning. Don't worry. And that's essentially what Jesus wants us to go away with. He's going to explain a little bit more, and we're going to look at a little bit longer, but it's almost like a two-word message. Easy for maybe to understand and hear, often very difficult in practice. But it seems to be that the focus is coming now, in past patches I've said before, he keeps saying, therefore I say to you, but here it's not preceded by you've heard that it was said. So there's an establishment of something here that he's sort of getting out of the way. Let's establish, let's get it out of the way, let's lay it down, we're not to worry. And I must say, I was struggling this week in terms of where to split this. So it might end up in a different place than I initially thought, because there's too much in here for one message, but I wasn't exactly sure where it might be this would split, because there's a number of things in here that I'd like to have a look at. And so we'll just follow through. We see here in verse 25, it says, do not worry about your life. Now, I was involved for a number of years doing mental health work. And when I say that, I thought I was there as the accountant, which I was. This is prior to starting here at Beckenham. And I thought that as an accountant in a mental health organisation, I was working for an outfit called Stepping Stones, I would just be dealing with the numbers. And in a sense, I was. That's the role, to account for what was there. But what I found is that the numbers, of course, represented names, represented people, represented a ministry. And as I was involved with looking at the numbers, you're often looking across and seeing, what does that represent? What was the service? What was the work that was being done during that time? And the service essentially was in order to promote mental health through what's called the recovery model. Just a quick aside, there's two models that operate, I believe, in the not in the medical profession, but in the healing profession, which includes the medical model and the recovery model. But the recovery model believes that we were created and we can be redeemed. The medical model probably is tending more towards therapy, with maybe not that understanding, without wanting to distinguish too much between them. But what we continually felt is there was a sense of healing and redemption from those that understood this verse clearly. This could be the mental health verse, Matthew 6:25, because the word life here is not the word that could be used in other parts where we see the word life translated. It's the word psyche. So essentially this is saying, and particularly this morning, if you struggle with mental health, and I would say that maybe all of us at some stage would have to say that's the case. Some of us more than others. But it's saying essentially, do not worry about your life. And the word worry is to give a careful thought. It's possible, now please don't misquote me on this, it's possible in some context to be too careful, to be caring too much about what's going on. So this verse really would say, do not give a thought to your thought life. Do not continually have thoughts going round and round and round in your thought life about the things that you're worrying about the future. When I leave here today, what am I going to eat? When I get up this morning or tomorrow morning, hopefully you're wearing something here. When I get up tomorrow morning, what am I going to wear? So essentially, I want to lay this down right at the start. You're not to give a careful thought or an anxious thought or a worried thought about your thought life. So we read this word life here, it's the psyche, it's the mind, it's what's going on, the self-talk. Most of us have, even when we're maybe doing other things, we're watching something or even listening to a message, our self-talk runs in our mind around 200 words a minute. We're constantly sort of evaluating what's going on, etc. Those with mental health concerns, and we all have them from time to time, sometimes that steps up. Now, it is possible to have 200 words a minute running through your mind. You're assessing what's going on, as well as being able to take in what's going around. But when that gets up to around the 300, 350 words, I mean, that's 4 or 5 words a second. It starts to get quite quick, and it's impossible to take in what's going around. And these are thoughts that produce the self-talk, and that's the term that we use in mental health. But Jesus says, I want to lay this down right at the start. And this may be what you came here today. You did not know this. You didn't specifically think you came to hear this today. But this may be the very word for some of us here today. Don't give an anxious thought for your thought life. Your thoughts have to be laid down. I want to lay this down that you lay down your thoughts. And I have found that in my little engagement at Stepping Stones, as the accountant, often talking to practitioners and clinicians about how do people do that? And it does involve a series of training and retraining about how that actually goes about. Now, we don't do that here necessarily at Beckenham, but we have folk that can help with that. And I very much want to encourage you, if you've come today and said, absolutely, that's me, how do I nail that, how do I deal with that? Really want to encourage you, please come to the front later or grab one of us in leadership. We'd love to be able to connect and help in that way. Because I have found that unless we actually take every thought captive, and the Bible talks about that, we find ourselves thinking, good stuff, I know I need to do that, but I find myself a week later in the same sort of patterns. So Jesus is clearly saying at the start of this, I want to lay this down before you, that you should not have any anxious, worried, or careful, too much care for your thought life. It's clearly something that he knew about and he spoke about. Because specifically focusing on the psyche or the thought life was something just as important then as now. Do you read the press this week? I just saw an article about the rising issue with mental health in our culture, in our society here in Christchurch for a number of reasons. Maybe it's higher than other centres, the residual effect of the quakes, etc., etc. But I want to encourage us that we may look at the Bible and say it's a little bit too simplistic for life today. Not at all, I would argue. And if you consider the words and the meaning of the words here, there's often a lot more than we read when we read it. Just, you know, skim over it, as it were. And I have the privilege as the pastor here, or one of the pastors here, in being able to, or teachers here rather, in being able to take the time and look at this. To be honest, read this before, yeah, but life, I'm thinking of busyness and all the rest of it here, but understanding that this is talking about our thought life. Moving on here, what you will eat or what you will drink. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink. Now, the basics of life, food, clothing and shelter, obviously, food and clothing, the first two things, and shelter or warmth or some means of keeping alive are the third. But we understand that food and clothing are the two first of the two basic needs. Food first and then clothing. So once again, isn't it interesting that, I don't know, when we first learnt that, I remember it was, I think it was a PE lesson at school in the fifth form, the basic needs that we have. And here we have 2,000 years ago, Jesus saying these are the first two needs that are needed, food and clothing. But your Father in heaven knows that you need these things. Don't worry about it. Now, I don't know if you've ever come to a situation in your life, and if we look at all of our lives individually, have you ever been in a place where you do not know where your next meal is coming from? Now, this is not just ask that honestly. Has anyone been in a situation here where you literally did not know where your next meal is coming from? And I don't mean where you're going to buy, thank you, where you're going to buy your next meal, but you do not have the means, you do not have anything to know where your next meal is coming from. Anyone here? Okay. Look at the, just I don't want you to keep your hands up necessarily, but there was three or four people in the congregation. Not many of us at all. We're going to pray later on because there's places in the world at the moment where an awful lot more folk than this proportion that we've got here. But if I was to ask those three or four folk that didn't know where their next meal was coming from, can you remember that feeling where you didn't know where next meal was coming from? Was that yes or no? You remember the feeling that happened? Anybody put their hands up? It sort of sticks with you, doesn't it? I was involved with outreach in London years ago, and you'd think in London that would be perfectly fine, there'd be plenty of food, etc., which there was. And I'd done this live by faith thing where I was doing the short-term mission, and people would joke about I still am quite tall, but I was tall back then. I had a nickname, Big T, and there was this loaf of bread in England called Big T. It was Big Toast, but it was Big T. And so people would give me this loaf of bread, and it was a bit of a joke, but I was really hanging out for these loaves of Big T that used to pop up every now and then my doorstep. Didn't ever get any jam or peanut butter, just the bread. But actually, after a while, I realised this life of faith thing is not too good if you keep quiet about it. And I thought, isn't that the point? We're supposed to let God provide. But I got to the point where I didn't know where my next meal was coming from, and it was scary. Now, I know that I could have gone and said, well, this life of faith that I think I'm supposed to be doing isn't quite working. You know, could someone, you know, that might have been what the Lord intended. Because sometimes it's, pride is dealt with when we realise that God is using a situation to bring us and humble us. Nonetheless, that was an exception. So only one time in my life. And others that have put their hands up, I'm picking it, didn't happen that often. And for some of us, most of us here, it's never happened at all. The reason I want to mention this is you might read this and you think, this doesn't apply to me. I'm not a guy that worries. I'm not a person that worries. I'm not a man or woman or child that worries. It's not relevant for me. It doesn't happen. Well, no, it may not have happened yet. And for those that didn't put their hands up, it hasn't happened in your life to this date. But there may come a time in future where you're going to hang on this verse and say, wow, okay, why was that emphasized so much? If you've experienced it, you understand it, that God actually came through. Mightn't have been the meal that you thought, mightn't have been the type of food that you thought or the time that you thought, but he did come through. In my situation, it was actually a result of being a little bit desperate and someone knocked on the door once and they said, let's go out to, I should explain, in England the pub culture is a bit different and you go to the pub, you don't always drink, but there was a pub meal, got shouted to a pub meal and it was... Man, it was good. I think it was probably only pie and mash or something, but it was really good. And God provided very simple meal, not what I ever would have thought. I didn't have the money for it necessarily. But the reason I mention this is there may come a time where you need to tuck this verse away and say, okay, I don't need it now, but in future. What you will eat or what you will drink specifically, nor about your body, what you will put on. Now, I've had conversations about my shirts in the past here. I don't think to worry too much about what I put on as long as someone said to me, as long as I wear one shirt or other. But some of us I know are quite concerned about what we put on, how it is that we look. It isn't so much necessarily this verse about the warmth and the protection that clothing brings. Absolutely, it is that. But it's also about the impression. Because behind this verse is I wouldn't say a challenge, but an encouragement not to get too concerned about the impression that we make with our clothing. Some years ago, I remember we had a youth group night. We talked about our labels, and it seemed to be that the one-upmanship that happened. Someone bought some labeled clothing. This is before the days of knockoff clothing, and it was quite expensive to buy these labels, for example, and realized it was becoming a bit of a thing that people would turn up and sort of show it off. Understandable. However, this verse here speaks to that sort of culture and that understanding. When we get a little bit older, we look and say, isn't that ridiculous? And maybe it is. Well, yes, it is ridiculous. But maybe we've got more adult forms of putting on clothing. Actual clothing we might be quite relaxed with, but we often put on a much bigger clothing, car, for example, that we get in, and that car represents something about ourselves. Yes, it's great to have a car and keep warm and dry and protected, but if it's saying maybe more than that, is it something that we worry about? And if we've maybe spent too much money in purchasing something that may become an issue for us, we find that actually it's because we're worried about our protection, worried about will God really look after us? So the clothing takes on many forms, the houses that we have, the jobs that we have, the things that step outside. Not wanting to read too much into this, but again, we're told these are not things that we're to worry about. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? The last bit of Matthew 25. Of course we would say it's it. I mean, of course the phrase goes, we eat to live, not live to eat. But at various times in our life, we may find that food has become something that gives us comfort and gives us comfort more than sustenance. So it's something that we may or may not have an issue with. Again, I'm saying this because this is not the case for very many. But food may have become something that is actually your life, may have become something that's getting in the way. I say that some years ago, to lose some weight, I'd gotten quite big, and I realized that I was thinking about the next meal, every time, the next meal. And of course, we don't even have to wait to a meal. There's food available at any one stage, etc. And I thought, have I got some sort of food addiction? Now that's probably a little bit extreme. And some people have that, found particularly working for Stepping Stones, all sorts of things. Where the body or the life of the person had become food. It was something that totally, literally consumed them. What will I eat? Where can I get this? Because it gives me the comfort and security I have. Once again, almost in the way that clothing wraps around one. And the word life here is the same as we've got before. Is the psyche more than food? Is the thinking that we do about life more than food? Absolutely. and yet maybe for some of us. So Jesus, remember in this verse, just laid it down, or the body more than clothing. I just want to look at verse 26 briefly before we, as we move on here. Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Now the words birds here is referring to ravens particularly. That's probably the most translation. You look at ravens and you think they're a black bird. If you've seen a raven, it's a pretty black, maybe an undescript or a nondescript bird. There are many more fancy birds even back in the day that could have been chosen. When we consider in future, when we consider literally the lilies, they're a much fancier thing. And there seems to be a contrast here between consider the birds and the particular birds. Some translations will have ravens. The plain bird and the fancy flowers. So there's something about essentially a contrast between something that's very plain, literally black. Although I believe if you look at a raven under the right light, there can be wonderful shades of blue and purple and all the rest of it. But from a distance, a raven looks black, pretty simple. And the point here that is being made is the birds of the air, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. So the clothing for the lilies as opposed to the clothing for the birds, there's something about the feeding that happens and the clothing is taken care of. We would say a heavenly Father, and understandably so, is strong enough and powerful enough and provides for us enough that we could have wonderful clothing and wonderful food. But what we see here is he's talking about a very plain clothing, the raven, the blackbird, and yet he feeds them. The Lord promises to give us what we need, what we want. And there may be times in our life where we are satisfied with good food, but our clothing is rather plain. And as we look forward in future, the contrast, it may be that we are satisfied with good clothing, but our food is plain. And understanding that there are times that these things come in different measures, and to be thankful for all. As we came in here today and we were praying in the back room, one of the profound feelings that came out of it was thankfulness for the freedoms that we are sharing. And Steve alluded to that as he prayed today, particularly for Anzac and what that's meant for all of us. And through all of this, there is a theme of gratitude. Jesus is laying this down for us, and we don't necessarily see the word to be thankful for this, but understanding if we know that this is taken care of, that from now on this is taken care of. As I say, it might not be the quantity or the taste being the taste in clothes and the taste of food, but God knows the things that we need, not necessarily things that we want. And it may be one of the things we take home from this is understanding that some of our needs maybe have gotten confused with wants. Medically, you might find this, and we certainly found this at Stepping Stones. People would come and say, I need this. This is something that I need. And something that we would, or most people may have identified as a want, had been reinterpreted as a need. I need to feel this way. I need to have this. And one of the concerns that happens in a culture which we have been incredibly blessed, and we have many reasons to be thankful for, that if we're honest, we look and we say, my want for a particular type of food or a particular type of clothing has become a need, and that's something that I need to have. If you've been in the situation, you can relate to not having food at any stage and not having clothing at any stage of the type that you actually do need, you understand very quickly the difference between wants and needs. And again, this is not being prophetic, but some of the words I'm saying here I feel are going to be applied in future for some of us, if maybe a lot more of us. We might say, this isn't relevant for me at the moment. It doesn't matter what I call them, wants or needs, I can have both. And maybe at the moment you can. And that may be perfectly cool. But in future, I guess I'm seeing times ahead where we're actually needing to redefine what really is a need and what really is a want. So I encourage us to think about that as we draw to a close just today. In verse 27, it says here, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? Bearing in mind this was written, there was a constant threat. A civil war was going on at this stage, and you imagine that soldiers had to reach a certain height to be gained. It wasn't that people wanted to be higher and taller to be soldiers, but they wanted to be higher and taller to protect themselves. And so there's a sense that we've talked about food and clothing, but here the worry, can I be bigger, that I can be stronger, that I can protect myself? Again, this is a worry that is a step on, absolutely, from food and clothing. But this is the context of this verse here. I want to draw it to close today because there are a number of people in our world today, and we're going to finish a little differently today, who are actually in the situation of worrying for food and clothing. And you would argue they have good need to worry. It is a need they have that at the moment they're struggling to see how God is providing. We've got a connection with Pastor Leonard in the Ukraine, and at this stage he's delivered about 10 tons of food to many buildings that have been bombed out in terms of their elevators. They're going up and down makeshift stairs. And we decide as a church it's time to send more money over there. Because some of the ways in which God provides the needs is prompting others from a long way away that something has to be done. I'm just going to invite Jason to come and to lead us as we close today in a prayer and tell us a little bit about what's happening there. And the reason I wanted to close with this today is that these are folk that really would have a concern. Oh, sorry, Jason, just before you do, just take a seat quickly before we do that. Because there are also some other people, as I remember, and I'm sorry for not thinking of this before, you may have seen the situation in Shanghai, where people have put their trust in a government, in a communist government, that this government will be, as it were, God to me, my provision and my protection. And I think you know what's going on there. People are starving and calling out, and the government has said, we'll decide whether you live, we'll decide what goes on. So both in Shanghai, and we'll hear shortly about the situation in Ukraine, not just about food and clothing. These are folk that we would really, I would want to encourage us to be considering prayerfully what's going on for them. What could my response be? And we're very happy to pass on things on anyone's behalf here to folk over there. And we would pray that as folk over there, we're going to be in conversation with Pastor Leonard in the coming week and encourage them with this, that when we do that, it doesn't sound pithy. Go your way, be warmed and filled. Or don't worry about it, Pastor Leonard, etc. It's probably a very different situation where he's sitting or standing, knowing that actually the worry is a lot more real than it would be for us. So we appreciate your prayers that we are, we're not flippant when we contact. But I'm just going to invite Jason to come up and speak. His wife is very close to the situation at the moment, and if you want to lead us in a prayer. Thank you.
Sure.
Hi everyone. The latest letter hasn't been sent, but I was speaking with Svetlana and she just shared a little piece of his next letter that will be translated and sent here. In the letter, Pastor Leonard says, "What can I say to Olga, who just lost her 15-year-old son in an unexpected shelling and is holding her son's hand? I stand and say nothing. I cry. I can't do anything." And so, like Tony said earlier, it's someone's son, it's someone's daughter, someone's relative that has been killed in these wars, and in Shanghai as well, there's people dying of starvation. Again, they're someone's relative, a son created, a daughter in the image of God. Shall we pray for mercy from our great God? Father, we do want to praise you for this message this morning. The very words of Jesus 2,000 years ago saying, "Do not worry." So we thank you for the living word. You're the same Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray for Pastor Leonard and those Christians suffering, may they not worry because they know you. Lord, we pray for mercy. We pray the leaders of Russia and Ukraine and other influences would get together and negotiate. And we pray for peace in that land. And Lord, we want to bring before you Pastor Leonard and others serving. I know another mission organisation sending vans in from Moldova to get people out. Lord, protect them. Protect your people. Protect people there when the bombs come. May there be wonderful escapes from death. And Lord, we long that in this, people would turn to you. We do ask that your Spirit would work in such a way that they would see their need of the Lord Jesus Christ and your word would speak into their lives. And again, just with the leaders, Lord, turn their hearts and help those who have evil intentions, humble them, Lord, that they might turn to you and realize they're not the God of their countries, but you are. So have mercy, Heavenly Father. And again, we think of Olga, that mum. Imagine it. 15-year-old son. And Lord, don't know if she's a believer or not, speak to her and give her hope and give those people escaping their country, those people without hope, hungry, hopeless, without God, Lord, give them hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then for those in China as well, have mercy. We pray these things because you are the God who hears the prayers of the righteous, and we're not righteous in ourselves, but we know the righteous one, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could think or ask in those situations, have mercy. Because we pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.